The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal radio on this fine April Fool's Day. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kittrick. Kara,
hello.
How are you doing this morning, evening, night, whatever the hell it is?
Yeah, you know, the time doesn't pass in the studio. We go in, we record, we walk out, it's the same time of day. Or maybe it's a different year, you know, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just pumped up on aggravation. So why don't you bring me down with some of that sweet news?
All right. So the former president of Poland, Lech Walesa, although that may be not the way you say it, has warned humanity of the possibility of a UFO invasion. There are three levels of intellectual development on other galaxies, he says. We are the lowest, and the higher civilization comes as a UFO and others and looks at what they are doing here. If we threaten to destabilize with Macron, with Putin there, they will interrupt us, cut us in half. The Earth will collapse. Everyone will be crushed, he said. I think that quote speaks for itself. Walesa was president from 1990 to 1995. Alex Jones has just recently stated that a form of psychosis was responsible for his statements following the Sandy Hook shooting, that the shooting was staged and carried out by paid crisis actors in order to bolster support for gun control. He made the statement in a sworn deposition after being sued for defamation by Sandy Hook survivors. Shortly thereafter, Alex Jones questioned on the show whether the suicide of a Sandy Hook parent was faked. And a Highland, Michigan couple is claiming that their house is haunted after a nanny cam spotted seemingly paranormal activity. In the viral video, which they posted online, an indistinct figure, seemingly composed of smoke, walks by the crib, frightening their child. "It sent a chill down my spine," said one of the homeowners. They also say they will be moving out as soon as they saved up enough money to do so. The home, which is a guest house owned by the couple's mother, has been investigated before by paranormal researchers. They reported paranormal activity from an unknown source. In local news, I just feasted on fresh human blood, and I'm feeling fantastic. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're feeling good. All right. So, what was the guy's name from the first one?
Lech Walesa.
First of all, I can't hear that without thinking about Wiz Khalifa, you know.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, sort of their lower quality evil twin.
It makes me think of this Fetty Wap song, and I keep thinking, Lech Walesa, yeah. You know, it's like, it's too perfect. Granted, our audience probably has no idea what I'm talking about, but if my wife is hearing this, she thinks it's hilarious.
Well, that's what matters.
You're right. He's straight up. How old is this guy at this point? Do we have a ballpark? Because it sounds pretty.
Yeah, he's the oldest living president from Poland. I believe he's. Oh, I forget. It was in his late 70s, I believe.
Yeah, that's not old enough to be a UFO crazy. So there might be a.
Well, he was crazy when he was president, too.
Well, I mean, they elected him, you know. Can't have been that crazy.
Well, I don't know. It's Poland.
And then this Alex Jones thing is an interesting argument. Alex Jones' psychosis responsible for him talking crap about the Sandy Hook kids.
Yeah.
Is really funny because all he'd have to do is, like, look at my years of shows. Of course it's psychosis, you know. And, like, the judge will be, oh, yeah, all right. Fine.
That is fair. Yeah, you know, if you want to go with the insanity defense, you really do have to, like, commit over the years, build up a body of work.
Right, right. We need to start now. We need to start conveying some level of insanity.
Hey, I'm doing it.
You know.
You know.
The Earth is a triangle. Not a pyramid. A triangle.
So it's flat, but it's
triangular.
It's triangular. Okay.
Obviously. When I walk out my door, it's like my peripheral vision goes out in a triangle.
Right.
So it's like obviously a triangle.
Of course. You know. Are you one of those equilateral triangle theorists or one of those dirty isosceles truthers?
I don't know. I wish I had something for that because that was really good.
Thank you.
And then Paranormal Activity by the Crib. Okay, first of all, was there a video of this?
Yeah, there's a video. Okay. It's pretty interesting.
We got to remember to get that up on Facebook during the break. Anybody who's interested, let's try to get that video up on our Facebook during the break because I want to see that. The funny thing is, you know, they're going to move out once they've saved enough money.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Because every time I see those movies where they're just like all, you know, we're out of here, you know, like The Conjuring and stuff like that, they're not really worried about money. They just get going because they're terrified.
Right. Well, I think it hasn't gotten that bad, you know.
Right. Totally.
It's kind of just like, you know, a weird smell or an annoying roommate. It's
right.
Like, every night with this, there are ghosts.
Timmy's toy chest ate another one of our kids who were spending the night.
Yeah.
We need to start a fund so that we can move out of here.
Right. You know, maybe start a swear jar. Start
right.
Gathering that change.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
The swearing will definitely be escalating after the whole situation.
I am super irritated today because as of today, I lost my health insurance.
What? Lame.
And like, I have a meeting every morning at 8:15 for work, and then I'm done with it by like 9:15, 9:20, the phone rings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my doctor's office. My doctor's office. So I have been getting shots due to low testosterone, which is not uncommon for a fat man of my age.
Sure.
And I'm just all, okay, good. I've been working out. I've been exercising. Things are going great. I'm getting, you know, butt shots of testosterone. Stuff's happening. This is great. They tell me, well, you need to stop taking the shots and put out your appointment for 2 months because now we're going to have to test you to see if there's something wrong with your pituitary gland. I might have a benign tumor on it. And I'm just all like, oh, my God. You know, and like here I am on the day that I lose my health care. Basically, I have to get another test, see what happens from that blood test and the doctor's follow-up, which, you know, you can afford. That's
sure.
Unfortunate, but you can afford it. But if that doesn't work – now, don't get me wrong. It's benign. It's not going to kill me. I'm not, like, telling the world I'm going to die. I'm just frustrated. And but if that test comes back, I'm going to have to get a CAT scan.
And I find out that
I might have to get a CAT scan on the day that I lose my health insurance. Due to everybody's going to maybe listening to this station for the audience on the internet. We air on a station called KCNR here out of Reading, and most of it is conservative news and opinion and stuff like that. So a lot of our terrestrial listeners are going to be all like Obama. You know, a lot of our online listeners might be all Trump. But frankly, it's neither of those people. This has been going on a long time before that.
Our healthcare has always
it
been.
It is just ridiculous, you know, and we need, I don't know, I'm very angry. We need to burn the system to the ground.
Oh, I quite agree.
You know, I'm looking for somebody to put a verbal bullet in. But unfortunately, that person probably died 50 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you know, blame rich oligarchs. That's what I do.
Yeah, but you can't help it. Most of them are trust fund babies. They don't even know any better now. They have the same entitlements that I was born with. They don't know. I don't know about my own entitlements.
Well, just because they didn't do it on purpose doesn't mean you can't chop their heads off.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look at Marie Antoinette.
Words to live by.
That's
what
happened to her.
Well, precisely. You know,
she was actually a fairly nice person.
She didn't build the system, but, you know, she...
She was trying to hook people up with cake. And like, you know, all they could do is cut her head off. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're going to talk about April Fool's Day. We're going to talk about some of the most famous hoaxes in paranormal, covering cryptids, covering UFOs, covering hauntings, covering whatever we got here. Kara has brought a little list. I brought a little list. And together we have a doubly long little list of paranormal hoaxes here on Radio Wasteland. So come on back.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. What shall we do about them? Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. It is, for our terrestrial listeners, April Fool's Day, although if you worked today, being a Monday, you were probably reminded of that repeatedly.
Indeed. I like how you say terrestrial listeners, though, as opposed to our podcast listeners, who we all know are exclusively aliens.
Yeah, you know.
From outer space.
Right. And shut-ins.
And shut-ins.
Aliens and shut-ins.
Also from outer space.
And people with online chat monikers that somehow contain the word cat.
That does seem to be a relatively large portion of our audience.
Yeah, every time I tune into the Para-X chat, I always say hi to Cat and Cat because those are the two that are always in there. And then there's another guy who's always in there named Fred, and he's got a picture of a cat. So cats are prevalent.
Well, on the internet, yes.
Yeah. Shut-ins.
Scoop of the century right there.
Yeah, and I'm not coming down on the shut-ins. Personally, I am a shut-in.
Right.
You know, I didn't get sick all this season. You know why?
Because you didn't interact with
people.
Yeah.
Yeah. My kids are old, and I didn't leave. And every time they come, and I'm just, I'll wash your hands.
Right.
You know, I'm all about it. All right, so it's April Fool's, and we're going to talk about some April Fool's hoaxes. And we got several segments of the show. And in this first segment, we're going to talk about some hoaxes that took place in the time of media. You know, mainly
through the medium
media
of film.
Yeah, film.
You would say.
Well, one of them we're going to run over here briefly is the world's broadcast from 1938, which was the radio broadcast.
Which was radio, yes.
But it was the equivalent of film at the time.
Right. And people went berserk, didn't they?
You know, they really did. I thought that they didn't. You know, I thought for years I thought that they did. And then somebody tried to tell me, like, oh, it was that
exaggerated.
Big of a deal.
Yeah.
But then, you know, when I was researching it for this show, it really wasn't that exaggerated. it came out on a show. So the for those who don't know, the World of the Worlds broadcast was Orson Welles doing a radio broadcast of a book by H.G. Wells.
Very confusing.
From 1898. And the way they presented this was they came at the in at the beginning and said this is a Mercury Theater on air anthology series. And then this one is basically War of the Worlds. And that's all they said. And then they basically started playing music. And in the middle of the music, they come in and say that scientists have seen, like, explosions on Mars. And then they go into some more music. And then they go into some talk thing. They fully turn the hour as though now you're listening to regular radio.
Right.
And bring in these reports. And then, you know, so within the first segment, people started calling in going like, oh, my gosh, we're all going to die. You know, and then so the newscaster, the cops actually end up getting called and the cops come down and they're trying to force their way in. But right before they can say anything, part of the script was the newscaster chokes to death and dies on toxic gas on the air as the cops are, you know, trying to force their way into the recording booth. And, you know, this ended up actually being quite a big freaky thing. You know, it basically happened from the get-go. There's something really funny. And so after a Jack Parr, he had announcing duties that night. And as panic listeners called the studio, Parr attempted to calm them on the phone and on air by saying, the world is not coming to an end. Trust me, when have I ever lied to you? And in very typical today fashion, the response was the listeners started charging Parr with covering up the truth. And so, like,
he could have just said, like, this is fiction.
Yeah, and
but he went with the, when have I ever lied to you?
Right, and he called
up his... the face of a liar?
Yeah, on the radio. And he called up his boss, and the boss was oblivious, and the manager advised Parr to calm down and said that it was all a tempest and a teapot, which is a term I've never really heard before. But
well, 30s, you know.
Yeah, totally. They were all poetic. It's a tempest and a teapot, you hear? But, you know, I was really interested, you know, some of these, you really don't know if they count as a hoax.
Right.
This one was not intended.
It was not intended that
way. To cause
real
fear. It was really intended to stoke one's imagination.
Right.
Although Orson Welles was a weird guy.
He was a weird guy.
This might have crossed his mind ahead of time, you know.
But I don't know. I'm guessing the guys who put it together were just like, yeah, fun fiction thing. H.G. Wells. Everyone loves H.G. Wells. And then later, like, well. People are gullible.
Right, and H.G. Wells was real popular at the time as being serialized like Food of the Gods. I don't know if you ever read the book Food of the Gods, but but it came out as a serial. Yeah. And so when you're reading the book, you got to be patient because basically every chapter recaps the previous chapter because it was coming out weekly at the time. And so everybody was getting the recap the week later. You know,
right,
exactly. But when you're reading the book, you're all, oh, yeah, it's this again. You know, so you might as well read a chapter a week, you know. But I love this one. I own it on vinyl record, and I've listened to it tons of times. And we're going to have to make it a point to get that up on the website, radiowasteland.us. We'll get that up there because it's just a lot of fun to listen to.
So it's worth noting that people have not necessarily gotten any less gullible. So
right.
In 1992, there was a mockumentary horror film called Ghostwatch, produced by the BBC, and it was presented as a documentary about ghost hunters, you know, the type of thing a news show does, like, let's tag along in this ghost hunting investigation, but it slowly turns into just paranormal horror as it goes on. To the point where, at the end, it's just a full-on horror movie.
Right.
And sort of the conceit of it is that, oh, all these people who are watching are channeling psychic energy into the ghosts and making them more powerful. And that's why this investigation is going so awry, because we put it on the BBC. So it was a silly thing. They presented...
That's like the pink slime from Ghostbusters 2.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. So they presented it like it was real, and then, but they'd actually just filmed the whole thing weeks earlier in a studio.
Which, this is shocking to me, because I am a horror movie fanatic, and I have never even heard of this. I've looked it up, I'm looking at screenshots from it, thinking it would jog my memory, and I have never seen it, never even heard of it.
And so it's like the one horror movie you haven't seen, is the one I want to talk about. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, in any case, it caused a bit of an uproar. There was a little disclaimer saying, hey, this is a work of fiction, but it was at the beginning, people missed it. There was a mentally disabled 18-year-old factory worker, mental age of 13. He was convinced it was real. He lived in a place with a lot of, like, loud pipes. He ended up killing himself.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Tragic.
And there were, like, it was linked to, maybe spuriously, but to a couple of cases of PTSD in children. It was like... This caused way more mayhem than you would ever think conceivable from just, you know, a silly horror movie.
I'm assuming that they were paying homage to War of the Worlds because they were Brits, you know, H.G. Wells, you know, all of this happened in England. I'm assuming that they knew on some level that they were all, hey, we should do something like War of the Worlds, but people are going to get it this time.
And right. Well, I think that's what they were thinking. It was... Halloween, too. It was Halloween. So you would think that people would be like, okay, what are the odds of this happening on Halloween? But, yeah, like I said, people are pretty gullible.
Yeah.
And this was actually apparently a big inspiration for the Blair Witch guys.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the next one I'm going to run down here real quick, but that War of the Worlds actually aired on 8 p.m. on Sunday, October 30th, so that was right up in there as well.
Oh, okay. It might have been an homage then.
Right, and then the last great, I think, hoax that did this again was the Blair Witch Project. And the Blair Witch Project, a lot of people, like, look back on it now and they go, like, oh, that's lame. That totally wasn't that. At the time, it was that, and people didn't know, and it very much was that. And it was... awesome. An awesome, awesome movie. You might have had to have been there in the time. It was 1999.
Sure.
You know, going back now, you're probably not going to get it in the same level. But, you know, at the Sundance Film Festival.
Only 90s kids will understand. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, totally. At the Sundance Film Festival, they presented it as a documentary and were handing out missing or deceased flyers for the people. And, you know, something fun to note here is that it grossed $250 million worldwide on a budget of $60,000, making it the most successful independent film of all time. But
okay, the craziest thing to me about that is that the Blair Witch Project costs $60,000.
That's
to
funny
create.
because that's what Chris Rock said about it. He's just, oh, I heard that movie cost $60,000, and my only question is, where'd the other $59,000 go?
Well, it's a valid question.
Yeah, but it was really impressive what they did. They actually, long before the movie came out, they had websites up. They put out missing person signs in these towns of Burkittsville. They had deceased profiles.
Yeah, viral marketing.
And even for the first year of the movie being out, the Internet Movie Database for the actors said that they were missing or deceased.
That's incredible.
So, you know, they...
So they really took it to a next level before that was a common thing. You know, now these marketing stunts, people kind of just do that.
Yeah, it's credited with being the first movie to find its fame on the internet and the first movie to truly go viral, even long before a lot of these things that make things go viral were in place. Yeah. It was really the beginning of that.
So the nightmare world in which we currently live can be...
Can be blamed on.
Can be traced back to the Blair Witch Project. Okay, well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
See, there, that's who you can blame.
You can blame the Blair Witch guys. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, what are we talking, a couple of cryptids?
Yeah, we're talking about some cryptids.
All right, we're going to talk more about April Fool's Day and some of the greatest paranormal hoaxes of all time. Cryptids is coming up next. You don't want to miss that. This is Radio Wasteland.
I moved out to Langley recently with a plain and simple dream. Wanna infiltrate some third world place and topple their regime. Those men in black with their mansion suitcases, where everything's on a need-to-know basis. Agents got that swagger, everyone's so cloak and dagger. I'm feeling nervous, but I'm really kinda wishing for an undercover mission.
a jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 Health Grades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit at Wind River Spa. Indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean here at Wind River Spa. Our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend a day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring farmhouse fresh products for skincare and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Download the Wind River app. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Are you looking for a place with a fun and relaxing atmosphere to unwind after a long workday? Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has just what you're looking for. Easy to find at 2155 Hilltop Drive, let owners Robert and Rhonda Hansen welcome you to your new favorite spot in town. Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar has a great selection of beer on tap, fine wines, weekly live music, and a food menu that's currently the best-kept secret in Reading. Open Tuesday through Saturday starting at 4. Clean, classy, and relaxing. Head to Kelly's Pub and Wine Bar. By far, the friendliest bar.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland on this awesome April Fool's Day. We just got posted up on the Facebook there. If you want to check us out, look for Radio Wasteland on Facebook. We got the video of the nanny cam of the ghost and the baby.
Indeed.
All right. So we're talking about famous paranormal hoaxes. Here we're going to deal a little bit with cryptids. Kara, what do you got on your list?
So going old school here for a second, we've got the Cottingley Fairies.
Yes.
Say that right. So this was back in the beginning of the 20th century. The spiritualist movement was still very much a thing. In fact, I think it was kind of in its heyday back when this happened.
Absolutely.
It was, And so the photographs were taken by and of a couple of young girls, two cousins, Elsie and Frances, and they were photographs of themselves with fairies just floating around them.
Yeah.
Basically, you can look them up. Sort of grainy black and white things. They look pretty silly by today's standards.
They do. Yeah.
But they fooled a lot of people in the spiritualist movement, notably Arthur Conan Doyle, guy who invented Sherlock Holmes,
yeah,
actually met with these children and was completely convinced. So in 1978, decades and decades later, these children are now old, James Randi visited the sisters, analyzed the photographs, and said, "These fairies are cutouts from a children's book, and they are suspended by strings, which are visible in the photographs." Which is all true. Like, if you look at the photographs, it's Ed Wood levels of production.
Right, right.
So, the cousins later admitted it was a prank. Frances said in 1985, "I never even thought of it as being a fraud. It was just Elsie and I having a bit of fun, and I can't understand to this day why they were taken in. They wanted to be taken in." So, basically saying, you know.
Right. Well,
fool you twice, shame on you, because, geez, man.
What I remember about this story was, for one of them sort of held on. So there were four original photos, and there was a fifth one.
And then there was a fifth one.
And that one of them held on later in life saying that the fifth one was actually
real. The fifth one was actually real, yeah.
And, but the other one was saying that basically they knew it was fake, and it was fake and just fun. And then once Arthur Conan Doyle got wrapped up in it,
couldn't come out.
They were too embarrassed to come out and sort of bring down Arthur Conan Doyle.
Right, because they loved him and they didn't want to ruin his reputation
because
they, you know, fooled by some school children.
Yeah.
And Arthur Conan Doyle went all in on this. He was like, "This is definitive proof of spiritual entities in our world. Case closed forever."
Yeah.
So.
All right, well, my follow-up to that is not some of these we just don't know if they were a hoax or not, but we know they're fake. You know,
right.
This one's the Delloy's ape, an alleged large primate reported by Swiss geological explorer Francois Delloy's in South America. He was down there looking for oil deposits.
Sure.
And he had a rough go of it. 20 people went and 4 people came back due to either being killed by natives or disease.
Or disease, yeah.
And
you don't screw with the rainforest.
No, no.
You just don't.
Yeah.
Especially before antibiotics.
Right, yeah, totally. Yeah, because this was 1917, so this was a good 15 years before antibiotics. Mm-hmm. And
not a good idea.
So they basically, his story goes that he was on the camp by the beach, and these two things came up to him that they thought were bears at first until they realized that it was a monkey sorts of things, looking
right.
like a spider monkey, only, you know, half again as big and without a tail. And they freaked out, and they shot him, and they hit one and killed the other. And they killed the girl one, and the man one got away.
It's like Bambi.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
That's my takeaway.
Yeah. And so they took a photo of this thing, and the photo, basically, a lot of people, like, fell into it, and it was a big
right.
thing, but, you
this
know,
is
people
proof
look
of
at
Bigfoot it. Type thing.
Now, I sent you the photo, right?
Yeah, and it's a little, well, people were dumber back then.
Yeah, it's a little not good. It's basically a corpse sitting there with its chin held up by a stick.
Yeah.
And it's the female one. And I don't know if you looked at this thing very close, but it obviously has a part that females don't have.
Right.
And so
it's the mustache.
Yeah.
The big curly mustache.
It obviously has the mutton chops, you know. No, it had, you know, male parts. And so I'm a little this guy was doubly an idiot. You
right.
know, because apparently he hadn't got it out.
Maybe
of
he wanted people to be, like, questioning that and not questioning the validity of the actual
totally.
Photos.
Because like, nothing draws the eye like a spider monkey junkie. Right.
That wasn't bad. But also,
All right, take us to the Loch Ness Monster.
Right, so the surgeon's photograph. It's the most famous photo of the Loch Ness Monster. You know, the head sort of peeking out, very sort of low quality, black and white. It's often only the part of it. It's often cropped so that there's no frame of reference.
Yeah.
And that's led people to think, oh, this is a very large object in the water. In fact, when it was originally published, there were things in the water that you could see in the photo. And so one would think that the Loch Ness Monster was, like, maybe the size of a dog, based on this photo.
I didn't know that we knew this was a hoax.
We do. So what happened is that decades later, again, Christopher Sperling admitted to faking the creature with a model of the monster's neck and a toy submarine. Now, the reason he did this is because his stepfather, Marmaduke Wetherell, a famous big game hunter who, that sounds exactly like what he would be.
Yeah.
You can't really have a job that's not
big. I imagine him having a gun with like a Jumanji tip on it that comes out like a horn at the front.
Oh, yeah. You know, blunderbuss.
It's Marmaduke Wetherell or whatever you said with his magical doom gun.
Yeah. You know, blunderbuss, pith helmet, you know, khakis yeah, with a lot of exactly, pockets, the whole thing. So he was enlisted by the Daily Mail to find proof of the Loch Ness Monster. He found tracks that some hoaxers had faked. And that's what he brought back to the Daily Mail, and basically his reputation was ruined because of that.
Oh, that's ruthless.
Yeah, because the Daily Mail was like, what is this? And they published a bunch of stories basically saying, idiot big game hunter brings us, you right, know, obvious hoax.
It's not super credible like the Daily Mail is today.
I'm not going to touch that one. But, so, this guy teamed up with Christopher Sperling and the surgeon in question to create a hoax that they would send to the Daily Mail to sort of get back at them and fool them into dancing to their tune. I don't know how that was supposed to work exactly. Like, the surgeon's photograph probably made the Daily Mail a lot of money.
Right.
But anyway, they gave it to a surgeon because they figured, you know, it'll be more credible coming from this guy, and that's what happened. That's the whole story. Of course, Marmaduke Wetherell is dead.
Died in shame.
Yeah.
Unmarked grave so that people don't desecrate it.
I like to think he was killed, you know, hunting a lion or something.
I gotta say, in the case of this one, it was at least something that already existed.
Oh, yeah. You know, so the Loch Ness Monster existed for... And this is actually not the only hoax associated with the Loch Ness Monster by a long shot. It's just... This is the photo. Most people know of it. So
right. It's the equivalent of the Patterson-Gimlin tape
exactly,
for the...
Precisely, for Bigfoot.
For Bigfoot.
So, yeah, and I don't know. I think the Loch Ness Monster is kind of a lame cryptid.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, but, like, there's just not a lot for me to latch onto. It was like, maybe there's something happening there.
I always thought it was kind of feasible because it's really kind of based off an existing creature that existed. And
yeah, but, I mean, we would know.
The Loch is deep and connected to the ocean. Well, I mean, it's...
Yeah, that's true. I still don't think it's really all that feasible. But
I think it's more feasible than maybe some of them.
Okay. You throwing shade at Mothman again?
I am. Yeah. You know, Mothman, it's a little over the top.
It is a little over the top, but the difference is lots of people saw Mothman. And
lots
they
of people
no...
saw the water monster, the water horse.
The Loch Ness Monster? Did you just forget the name of the Loch Ness Monster?
Yeah, Nessie.
Yeah, okay.
I just know it on more of a...
You know it on more of a personal level.
Yeah. We got pet.
The Loch Ness Monster was my father. You right, can call me Nessie.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about crop circles because it is April Fool's Day.
It might seem crazy wearing space of pride. I Instagram every meal I've had.
Oh my. This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We're talking about famous paranormal hoaxes, and the last one we got up here is crop circles. You know,
indeed.
Crop circles is a very contemporary one, you know, started in the 70s but went on consistently through that whole time. And even though a lot of evidence of hoaxism was put on it, you know, people are still very much holding on to it now. So, you know, maybe
this
will come
as a Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's – this one – kind of showed
kind
that
of began
started.
As a hoax.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
no, that's true.
The concept of crop circles began in the original late 70s by Doug Bauer and Dave Chorley. They said that they were inspired by the Tully Saucer Nest, which was in Australia, and it's basically this guy had a area of reeds where there was like a flattened circle. It was just a circle. And they were inspired by this thing to go out and do it. And before the 1970s, there were very few references. Most had to do with, you know, cut grasses or mushrooms. So mushroom circles, kind of like the fairy thing and stuff like that.
Right.
The only possibly credible one was in 1880, a letter to an editor of Nature by amateur scientist John Rand Caprone. And he describes how a recent storm had created several circles of flattened crops in a field.
Okay.
And aside from that, it really started in the 70s, yeah. And so in 1991, these guys came out, Dave Brower and Dave Torley, made headlines claiming it was them who started it in 78 just by using simple wood and rope and a baseball cap fitted on something to help them walk a straight line. And to prove their case, they did it again in front of journalists and then had a serologist, a word I've never heard of before, C-E-R-E-O-L-O-G-I-S-T, which is basically an advocate of paranormal explanations of crop circles.
Right.
Pat Delgado, and he examined the circle and declared it to be authentic before they came out and said, yeah, well, we just did it in front of all of these people, you know. So they kind of were mean to that guy, you know.
Yeah. And, well, I hope he didn't get his PhD in serology. So.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, it depends on what school he went to. The school of the something I probably should avoid saying. Brower and Torley claimed to be responsible for all circles made prior to 87 and for more than 200 crop circles from 78 to 91, with 1,000 other circles not being made. And then when they proved it and they came out in the 90s, it sort of spurred on a whole new world of these people doing
right.
it. You know?
The controversy, though, was that in order to make these crop circles, they had to build an anti-gravity interstellar craft
right.
in order to produce them.
But it was
so
terrestrial.
It was like chicken or the egg, yeah.
Right. But it was terrestrial, so they weren't aliens.
Right. No, exactly. They just, you know.
You know, being that we do a paranormal show, we really haven't had any crop circles. It's a topic that I would still be interested in, mm-hmm. in hitting all of these topics would be, because while...
Yeah, we talked about it briefly on the cattle mutilation show, but not very much.
Yeah, well, yeah. Really it only came up with us discussing it with William Pullen, and William saying that he really didn't put any stock into any of it and never mm-hmm. really looked into it, you know. So I don't know if it's dying off in popularity, if it was finally, you know...
You would think that... Something like this would kind of be a death blow to the concept, but I don't know. After everything else we've talked about on this show, with
yeah, there are no death blows to concepts, you know, because it makes
you
me
you can't kill an idea. They're bulletproof.
Well, yeah, in our first segment where we were talking about these things, Jack Parr basically was trying to tell his audience during the War of the Worlds thing that everything was okay, and they started saying that he was trying to do a cover up.
Right.
You know, so it's like. 1938, you know, the same stuff was going on, and
don't worry about it. The tripods are your friends, and they don't exist.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Totally. But if you happen to see one, give it your blood. Give it a pint of your blood.
Yes.
Yeah. Because in that remake of War of the Worlds, that's what they wanted was they were like watering their space bushes with your blood, which was
Mars is doing a blood drive. And,
yeah. But
purifying blood.
The one thing that I couldn't find while researching this was their intention UFOs? I guess if they were pulling it from the Tully circle, which was claimed to be a UFO landing spot, and that's why it was down like that. I guess their intention was UFOs. You know, you never know what people are putting on it, and if their intention is really to do a hoax, or if they, you know, I mean, think about your own life. How many times have you done something in your life that you really didn't mean to do, but then it started to come out, and then you're just all like, I better keep that to myself.
I think almost everything I've ever done falls into that category.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like...
My life is just a series of accidents, really.
A series of secret, shameful accidents.
Precisely.
All right. You know, so I wonder how many of these were straight-up hoaxes, like the monkey thing. You know, what's up with the monkey thing? Was the monkey
thing... Did they ever come clean about the monkey thing?
You know, that's what a lot of these things aren't saying. And that's the interesting thing mm-hmm. about the crop circles is here we're really kind of presented with an actual motive.
And but what was the motive?
The motive was they were inspired by this other stuff, and they basically went out as artists. And we're kind of doing it for fun out of like a...
Well, were they trying to fool people? Was it like a prank? Or
yeah, they
were they
were,
just trying to create something interesting?
Both. I think that they were trying to pull a prank in a Warhol-esque style.
I see.
You know, so it was kind of art to them. And the art was the performance of the prank or whatever. You
right.
know, something that's very common now, of course, with Tom Green's and Johnny Knoxville's and stuff
sure.
like that. You know, but at the time, people...
But at the time, people were like, art or aliens? We right. are not cultured enough to know.
Right, yeah. I guess if you go out into the middle of nowhere, you know. But it just makes you wonder how many of these, you know, because how much money is in it?
Right.
You know, I realize today there's a big monetization stream for people who are perpetuating
If you can
BS.
Get attention for anything,
you can.
You can turn it into money. Well, we both know that very well.
Look at Alex Jones. You know, look at this Pizzagate. There's no way somebody can possibly believe in Pizzagate.
Well, I think people do, but I think do a lot they? Of them are... I think guys like Alex Jones almost exclusively cater to people who are not well, which is... Well, that's...
How do you make money off of people who are not well, though?
That's actually a pretty...
Where's their money coming from?
That's a bit pretty big percentage of the population. Well, I don't know. A lot of them are... A lot of people who have paranoid issues are fairly functional.
Yeah, all right.
Watch,
they're getting checks from the government, and Alex Jones is actually living off of the government.
Kind of, yeah. Alex Jones has made millions of dollars selling, like, survival gear for the end of the world and other, you know,
that's
nonsense.
That's interesting to me. I want to buy some survival gear for the end of the world. That makes sense.
Yeah, but he's, like, catering exclusively to his audience.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he's paranoia fuel. Like, right. He's feeding on their fantasies and providing them with what they want.
You know, a lot of...
I think he's scum, but...
A lot of what I'm saying here is jokes. The only reason why I really don't like Alex Jones is because a lot of the stuff that he's pushing and perpetuating is just mean.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and
not a belief
racist
in...
And horrible.
Right. It's not a belief in something larger or more magical. You know, the people who believe in the monkey who want to know that there's more out there, the people who believe in the alien and want to know that there's more out there. You know, we all want a little bit of magic in our life, and I get that, and I do that. I mean, I love that
right.
stuff.
Well, that's why we do the show.
But Alex Jones, it's
he's
just,
like us,
it's
but,
mean.
But he's hateful. Yeah. He's just full of hate.
Yeah, I keep my, you know, most of my hate is like focused at me and like whatever's left I focus towards you. But, you know, Alex
right.
Jones, you know, he's just.
But the audience doesn't get it, even though, well, I don't want to say anything.
Well, I don't know. I think it's relevant.
No, I'm just kidding.
To talk
our
about
audience.
Alex Jones on our hoaxster episode, because
right.
I think he kind of is a hoaxster, you know.
Oh, well, I think, you know, he is perfectly cogent in court. He's perfectly willing to say things that are clear and reasonable in court
right.
when he's defending his money.
Right.
It's only on his show that he acts like an absolute lunatic.
Right.
And that tells me he is faking it all for money. He's a con man.
Right, totally.
And
what he needs to do is just wear two different shoes when he shows up to court and drink from a baby bottle. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. This has been our hoax episode for April Fool's Day. Thanks for checking us out.
I'm going to take the month of August off just to get you off. I'm great gay. I'm going to clear the table top. We're going to need a bar. I'm great gay.
Let's take a photo of a goat in the boat and then we can float in the moat and be freaky. Let's take my body and we'll cover it with honey. Stick some money to the honey. Now I'm covered in money, honey. I go outside onto the ledge and push my ass against the glass. You can act like you don't know me. I take a cup and then I put it on my head.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.